Thank you, church, for being here today. It's great to see you. It's great to be able to come together in like mind, like faith, sing praises to our Father, be able to gather around this table, remember the sacrifice of our Lord, be able to read from God's Word, be able to pray to our Father. And now we have a time in our service where we're going to reflect on our own lives. And today is checkup day, okay? And I'll get to that in a minute. This is the sixth month of the year, and it's our six-month checkup. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But before we do that, I've got some great and exciting things to help us with, to even smile bigger and happier today, because with us for the very first time is sweet little Molly Ward. And Molly is with her daddy back there, and I think Joseph will... You'll bring her up, buddy, and she is a precious little girl who still needs our prayers because she is, even tomorrow, going to have some more blood transfusion. And y'all need to be praying for this little girl. And what I'd like to do right now is since she needs all the prayers she can get. Let's pray for her right now. How about that? Father, we love you and we thank you for this day and we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for all the babies we have here at Azalea City and those who are growing. Father, growing to be great young men and young women and great teenagers and great adults. And Father, we ask you to be with little Molly and Father, we know that we want her blood to be perfect, Father. We want her to be able to live a normal, healthy life. And Father, thank you for her precious gift. We pray tomorrow as she gets this blood that everything will work out and you'll be with her parents and be with her brother and sister and all her grandparents and aunts and uncles and all her church family and help us to continue to lift this sweet baby up to you. Thank you, dear Father, for reminding us of your awesome power through the birth of children. And we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. And I put her to sleep, just like most people. There we go. Beautiful, beautiful. Last week was a special week because we saw three precious souls be added to the kingdom. And what a great moment that was with John Daniel and Adriana and Alyssa. And Alyssa was out at camp last week, and then I think Adriana's going to be out there this week, and so great things are happening. But what you didn't see happened a couple Sundays ago on a Sunday afternoon, and she's been out of town a little bit and here and there, but with us on a Sunday for the first time is one of our newest Christians. She's the first picture on our bulletin. Happens to be my niece. I'm really proud of her. Addison East, if you will, please stand up. Our new sister in Christ right here as well. So, I'm going to tell you, you know, I wanted to give you all that good news with Molly and all of these rebirths lately, the new birth and the rebirth, because I'm going to preach kind of a hard sermon today. So I hope you're still smiling at the end of it. Now, actually, this sermon's not hard if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, right? W.T. Allison's a great man of God, and he's gone on to his reward. And I learned a lot from Brother Allison along the way. And one time he said at a preacher's forum, and this stuck with me, he said, preachers have to preach sermons that move. They're either going to move the church or they're going to move you. And so... you know, here we go. But this past year, we have talked about renew, and we're going to continue to talk about that. And I've seen some people physically renew themselves, whether they've come forward or obeyed the gospel. Chances are there have been more in the seats that have renewed themselves. I know for me, it's been a great theme because it helps me renew who I am and look at myself. But I want to ask the question, now what? You know, now that we are Christians, now that we are growing, now that we've come back home, you know, and we've been renewed because we've repented or we've been reborn, what do we do now? Well, the reality is we got to keep growing. You know, it's hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, but then we have to live faithfully. We don't just quit when we come up out of the water. If we do, we stay molly-sized forever spiritually, right? And that's dangerous. That's real dangerous. Because if I do not grow as a Christian, then I am going to do childish things. And so today, if you all are growing and I am growing, then this sermon is only something we can take with us to help somebody else. But chances are there may be some of us that this might step on our toes a little bit. It may challenge us to examine ourselves. Listen, if I do that, then I've done what God has asked me to do. This is a time when we draw, yes, it's about God, but it's about our relationship with Him. It's about what can I do to grow closer to Him, to draw nearer to Him, to strengthen my grip on my faith, and to stir up love and good works. Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. He said, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child." That makes sense, right? As children, we think we have it figured out. I remember as a child thinking I was smarter than my parents. Boy, how dumb was I, right? I mean, don't we go through that? I reasoned things as a child. I thought as a child. I acted like a child. I pitched fits like a child. I did all those things. And Paul says, but when I grew up, one verse says, when I became a man, but I like this one because it says, when I grew up, I put away childish things. And I think we get that in life. In our physical everyday lives, I think we get that. But sometimes I think we forget it spiritually. When I've got to keep growing. We talk about, and we get on to folks because, hey, we think, hey, once I'm in a saved relationship, we argue, once I'm in a saved relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, I can't do anything to fall from it. We'll argue against that, and rightfully so, because we can fall. The Bible teaches us that. But here's the thing, sometimes we act like that. Because once I've been baptized, I can do anything I want to do then. That's not true. I can't say and do and be the way I want to be. I've got to keep growing. Whether I've been sitting in the pew as a Christian for 2 weeks, 1 week, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 70 years, I must keep growing. I must. It's not an option. I must keep growing. When Paul says, when I grew up, I put away childish things, what happens when we don't? I think that's a fair question to examine ourselves, right? What happens when I don't put away the childish things? The Bible plainly tells us that we start out as spiritual babies. There is nothing sweeter than being able to have Molly Wards of the world come up here and me get to hold her. That's the first time I didn't get to hold her in the hospital. Then I got sick and I couldn't go back to the hospital. I didn't want to, and then when I did get back, she was still in the nursery. And so that was my first time. And there's nothing sweeter than that. And Michelle and I got reminiscing last night watching some videos of Madeline when she was a baby and Beau was 3. And man, it was just, oh man, it was precious memories and precious time. And you know, sometimes we say, oh, I don't want my baby to grow up, but they're going to. Because it's God's natural law. It's the way that God designed us to do it. So guess what? Babies are precious. There are precious memories, but guess what else babies do? They cry a lot sometimes. They demand what they want. They do things they shouldn't and have to learn how to be mature and productive adults. In all of God's creation, growing upwards is the function of all life. Everything grows up. Think about that. A little sapling of a tree grows up if it has all the things that feeds it right. Flowers go from seeds to beautiful flowers. Birds hatch out of nests and eventually fly away. And we really wish these would fly away altogether, by the way. But, you know, and so that happens. I mean, it happens. Puppies Remember how cute they are as puppies? Then they grow up and they do things on the floor and you get so mad at them. But that's just the way it happens. It's natural process, right? Well, why is it not natural in the church for us to do that sometimes? It should be. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 5, please. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read from verse 11 through verse 14 together. This is going to be our main text of today. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Again, this is a six-month checkup. Where am I at? Am I growing? Of whom, verse 11, we have much to say and hard to explain. He's referring to Melchizedek before. Since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Do you hear that? He's telling the Hebrew church, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles or the word or teachings of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Another word for that is mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This didn't just happen in 2019, right? We didn't just have a problem in church growth. And let me tell you, the church is not growing the way it should. And I'm just being real about that. And a large part of that is, I'm confident, because people are not maturing spiritually like they should. I mean, that's just real hard to say, but it's real true. So I'm going to love enough to say it. There is a danger in not growing up spiritually. And many of those dangers are laid out right there in Hebrews 5. We're going to look at more in just a moment. But I want to give a little bit of a test here. We're going to have a couple little tests today as we go through this. I want to tell you some signs of spiritual immaturity. Okay? And I want you to know that, hey, I'm preaching to me just like I'm preaching to everybody else. But here goes, okay? This is a few of them, so bear with me. Some signs of spiritual immaturity. Spiritually immature people's happiness depends on what kind of day they are having. They draw true happiness, spiritually immature people, from what kind of day they're having. You know, whether somebody smiled at them or not. I'm going to choose my happiness based on what my day is like. Well, that's not true. We need to choose our joy off Jesus Christ, right? We find true joy in Jesus Christ. We find that in maturity. Another one. Spiritually immature people are very proud of who they are, and there is no changing it. In other words, I'm going to be who I'm going to be. I've been a Christian for 60 years, and this is the way I'm going to be. I'm not changing now. Well, that is really immature. I mean, it is. That there's no other way to say it. Spiritually immature people are constantly reminding people that they are not perfect, which is a good thing, right, I guess? And until you walk in their shoes, you should not judge them. I said Wednesday night, the most overused phrase we can use today is, don't judge me. Well, if facts reveal something to be true, it's not a judgment. Okay? It's not a judgment. But there are people walking around saying, hey, I am who I am. I'm not perfect. Don't judge me. Well, that's spiritually immature. Spiritually immature people blame most of their problems on something or someone else. If my children do not grow up to be faithful Christians, it is Justin Barnes' fault. You hear that? You hear that? As much as you're kind of giggling, by the way, that is totally just proving the point, right? If my children and my wife don't go to heaven on Judgment Day, I'm going to look up George Spurlock, Mike Eubanks, Conrad Carpel, Virgil Fetner, and Larry Hancock, and I'm going to say, it's y'all's fault! As silly as that sounds, people are doing that! Man, I've made a lot of mistakes in my 14-plus years as a youth minister, and I got blamed for some things that, you know what, I mean, I took it personal for a long time. Because it was hard. But at the end of the day, if my children leave my house unfaithful to the Lord, it's my fault. Bottom line. We got to quit blaming. That's spiritually immature to blame other people for someone else's spiritual struggles. Spiritually immature people will stand before God one week and testify how awesome He is. And then days later, they're living as if it never happened. That's what spiritually immature people do. Spiritually immature people refuse to change until someone else changes or their circumstance changes. Until that person leaves the church or that person does this and does that. I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to be what I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to do that because so-and-so is involved. I'd love to tell you that's all made up. But it happens. Unfortunately, it happens. Every trial and hardship knocks a spiritually immature person further from God instead of building perseverance, trust, and faith in God. If my faith is not where it needs to be, I'm not growing and I'm spiritually immature, you know, one little thing is going to keep me. I blame God. I blame the church. I blame the elders, preacher, whoever else. Just get out of here. Spiritually immature people are always choosing sides. And their life is a roller coaster of drama, strife, and jealousy. If my life is always full of drama, strife, and jealousy, I need to check my spiritual maturity. Spiritually immature people never obey the words of Christ in Matthew 18 verses 13 through 17. In fact, instead of going to the person and working it out with the person, they tell Facebook. They tell their friends. They tell other church members. They tell their family. And they tell everyone else but the one they have issues with. Spiritually immature people do not understand what it means to be under an eldership. Let me try to remind us of that. Our elders come together and make a decision. There are over 300 people on this roll. Not all of them are faithful. That's a lot of people who have a lot of differing thoughts and things like that. Main thing is they always ask the question, is this what God wants? Is this biblically sound? Is this biblically standing on the Word of God? Well, they make a decision. And whether they survey the congregation, they survey this, they do that, whatever. Bottom line is when they make a decision, it's been studied, it's been prayed over, it's been met over, almost met to death over, frankly, right? But I mean, it's met a lot, and prayed a lot, and studied a lot, and they make the decision. Guess what? If I'm going to be under this eldership, I must be okay with that decision. They're the shepherds of my soul, and they got to stand in judgment for the decisions they make. Spiritually immature people don't get that, though. Spiritually immature people love gossip. I think gossip is the number one committed sin in the world. I do. But in large part, it's because sometimes we get wrapped up in it, but it's sometimes because we're just spiritually immature. I love to hear a juicy story. I love to run down a member of the church. I love to run down whatever. That's spiritually immature. The final one I have here, we'll have to talk about some more later, is spiritually immature people rely on an inherited faith. What that means is I inherited my faith from my grandparents, my parents, and I have not studied on my own. I have not looked at the Scriptures. I don't study my Bible. I don't pick it up. I just trust that they're right. It's kind of like that illustration, you remember, and I know you know it, but we've used it for years. There was a woman who would get a perfectly nice pot roast, and the first thing she'd do is cut each end of the pot roast off. Good meat, but she'd cut it off and throw it away. Yeah, crazy, right? The mama asked her one day, or the daughter asked her one day, she said, Mama, why do you do that? She said, I don't know. It's what your grandma did. She said, well, why did grandma do that? She said, I don't know. Let's call her up. Called up grandma. Hey, mama, why in the world did you always cut the ends of the pot roast off and I do it and the daughter's going to end up doing it all? And she said, well, I only had a pan this big. She'd been cutting it off to fit in that pan. But it had been handed down for generations. Well, if I'm not careful, that's how my faith is going to be. I got to study on my own. So, what do we need to do? We need to grow up spiritually. That's what renewing ourselves is all about. I'm going to, from henceforth on, grow. Whether I've been growing or not. Whether I need to be renewed today or not. Because if I do not grow up spiritually, then I will lose my soul. That's about as strong as I can say it. That's biblical. Whether I sat in a pew for 80 years, if I do not grow up spiritually, I'm in danger of hellfire. So, we've got to make sure we're growing. So how do we do that? Go back to Hebrews 5. Let's talk about some phrases and words in there. First of all, there's a word I want you to hear, or a phrase I want you to hear, and it's in verse 11. Let's read it again. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. One of the problems with me or anybody else remaining spiritually immature is because I'm dull of hearing. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Greek word for dull is nothros. Nothros. Which means slow or sluggish. Slow or sluggish, right? Then the Greek word for hearing is akeia. Akeia. So, nothros and akeia, which means hearing what's preached. So if you put it together, it's slow or sluggish to hear what was preached. In layman's terms, it's being hard-headed. I mean, really. Do you know someone, and I'm talking about Christians now, people that have been baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ that are spiritually hard-headed? You probably do. Don't name their names. Do you know someone that's spiritually hard-hearted? When we do not grow and become what we need to be spiritually, we get into danger of not hearing what's preached or taught by God. Now, they had to preach it, but we have it written today. You understand? So, it would be like this, and of course I'm not going to do it because this is my Bible that I like now the most, even though my other one, it would just, I could tell it to open to a scripture and it just open on its own. This one has bigger words, so I can see them better. So I like it better. But imagine, if you would, I was reading, I'm just open to a random chapter here, 1 Corinthians 9. I think that's some things we read Wednesday night. And I didn't like 1 Corinthians 9, and I just ripped it out. You see, that's what's happening with some people. They're picking and choosing what scriptures they want to listen to and what not. You know, we might get the facts down, but we lose the love and compassion and forgiveness. But hey, I know what it means. I know what I need to do to obey the gospel, blah, blah, blah. We've got to quit being picking and choosing. We've got to hear the whole truth of the matter. And we've got to grow up spiritually. We expect the church sometimes, when we're spiritually immature and dull of hearing, to be perfect. Guess what? It's not. And never will be. When I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the foundation. The foundation is perfect. The chief cornerstone is perfect. The head is perfect. But the body, the bride, the people, the called out, you and me, we're not perfect. And there are going to be imperfect people in a perfect place trying to get to a perfect place. Okay? The foundation of the church is perfect. We're a part of a perfect establishment. But we are not perfect. And we need to quit holding people to that regard. I'm going to make mistakes. The elders are going to make mistakes. Others are going to make mistakes. Deacons are going to make mistakes. We're going to fail somebody along the way. Spiritually immature people that are dull of hearing expect the church to revolve around them. Here's the news flash. That's not ever going to happen. The church is never going to revolve around me. It's never going to revolve around the elders. It's never going to revolve around the youth minister, the one-to-one minister, or anybody else. It's going to always revolve around Jesus Christ. And I got to make a hard decision. I either got to get on board with that or I got to lose my soul. Okay? It's not going to revolve around you. It's not going to revolve around me. When I'm dull of hearing, I expect others to read my mind. Boy, that's hard to do. I don't know if you know that. It's really, really hard to do. Hey, Terry, I really wanted you to do this and do that. Don't assume I know, please. I've told people before, you can text me, call me, it will not insult me. In fact, Michelle has a linked calendar with my phone that she puts every reminder in there because sometimes I forget or sometimes I just, my mind's in Arkansas. You know, I don't know, just whatever that saying is. Okay? But we can't expect people to read our minds and get it figured out. It's okay to be intimate and open up to people. It's okay. When I'm spiritually mature like I need to be. When I'm dull of hearing, we don't think some things are important. Sunday school being one of them. Listen, I love you. I love everybody here. I don't want anybody to ever leave. I want us to grow up and all that. But for the life of me, I'll go to my grave not figuring out why people don't come to Sunday school. I mean, Jimmy Presley, did we have an awesome class this morning? I mean, he's a teacher of it. And he's going to tell you it was awesome, but he's going to take himself out of the equation. But I'm going to say it was awesome because he led an awesome discussion. But that's how we're learning and growing in our Sunday school class. Johnny McDonald, I know it went great. People told me already, Johnny, you guys had a great class, just dug in the Word and figured out how to grow and do things. And why would we miss out on that? You're going to learn a lot more in Sunday school than you're going to learn right here. I mean, when I'm spiritually immature, though, that doesn't matter to me. And again, I know that steps on some toes. I really do. But I want to challenge you. The elders challenge us. I want you to prove me wrong. I want you to try Sunday school if you haven't been and tell me I was wrong. Okay? We'll see. We'll see who's right. All right. I love you. Know that. By the way, if I had a pill or somebody gave a lecture and said, hey, here's a pill that if you take it, you'll never have cancer. I mean, we're at least going to listen to them, right? If this person says they have a pill that cures cancer or prevents it, we're going to listen to them. Whether we found, well, by the way, we've got the cure for the soul in the Word of God. Why am I not going to listen to it? Eat them in or something. We got a few more minutes. Another word I need to look at in my 6-month checkup of renewal this year, growing up spiritually, is the word doctrine. Now, the word's not actually in there, but we're going to derive it from the text. Verse 12 now, Hebrews 5, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again, the Hebrew writer said, the first principles of the oracles or teachings of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. By the way, that sounds like a preacher who's stepping on some toes to me, but he was going through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'll give him that. I'm just trying to practice what we read here. You see, when we do not grow, we are in danger of being tossed by any old doctrine out there. That's a real danger. The Bible has been twisted and turned to make people feel good wherever they are in life. There are some churches today that have 20,000 people in attendance. We've got 250-ish plus. Okay? Why can't we have thousands in attendance right down the street? They probably do too. Well, not 20,000, but 1,000 probably. Why? Why can't we? Well, there are a lot of reasons why. And one of them is we're not in the entertainment business. And we're going to teach the truth in love. If I was able to preach feel-good sermons all the time and just, you know, hey, no step on toes, no conviction, no anything, maybe we could, man. Maybe we could do, but guess what? We got to teach the message the way it's written. Got to teach it the way it's written. What was happening in Hebrews chapter 5? These Christians, and they were Christians, they had converted over out of Judaism, the Hebrews, and they were now washed in the blood Christians, okay? They were not growing, however. And the Hebrew writer, many say it's Paul, we don't know that for sure, but it sounds a lot like his writings. He is stepping all over their toes. He said they needed to learn or relearn the first teachings of the Word of God. Folks, we need to be in the Word, in the doctrine. And we need to be teachers of the Word. Not teachers of some other book. Not teachers of some preacher out there or some pastor we see on TV. We need to be teachers of the Word of God. And we need to be in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, He Himself, that's God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the what? Equipping or building up of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the saints of the body of Christ. Till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, is appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. When I'm spiritually immature, I am in danger of doing exactly that. In order to understand and spread the Word of God, we must grow in the Word of God. Number three, or whatever point it is, sorry, is distracted. Distracted. Look at verse 13, Hebrews 5. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now think about a baby. They are easily distracted. I was watching that video last night, and Madeline would be doing something. She'd be after something. She's crawling around, scooting around, and I'd say, Madeline, and she'd forget what she was on, and she'd look back at me. Easily distracted, right? That you got to think about a baby. Well, the devil wants nothing more than for us to be distracted and to get wrapped up in trivial, minute matters that do not matter and cause division and drama and strife and jealousy, etc. Judas. You think Judas ever thought he would be distracted? Well, in Matthew chapter 26, we read these words beginning in verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now think about Judas. He was hand-picked by Jesus Christ. Hand-picked to follow him. He worked with Jesus daily. He talked with Jesus. He ate meals with Jesus. He went to bed in the same place Jesus laid His head, but he didn't grow with Jesus. He didn't grow with Jesus. In fact, he betrayed Him for 30 pieces of silver. He was distracted by the money. What are we so easily distracted by? What will we sell Jesus out for? Would it be gossip? Would it be drama? Lies? Looks? Finally, there's one more word we need to focus on, and it's the word discern. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That means mature, right? That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Discern means being able to distinguish, judge between good and evil. When we do not grow, guess what? We cannot decide what is good and what is evil. For instance, Matthew 18, I referenced it earlier. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take one with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. That's the way Jesus Christ wanted Christians in the future to handle disagreements and struggles and strife. But the way someone spiritually immature handles it is with everyone else. We can't let that be. We've got to be able to discern that. We've got to understand what's right and what's wrong. When I ask myself, before I send this text, is this right or this wrong? Same thing with social media. Same thing with going places on the internet. Same thing with gossip. Same thing with lies. Same thing with things I watch on TV. Things I listen to. It's all about good and evil, right? It's a battle every day. Paul said it was. But if I don't mature spiritually, I'm going to not make that decision in my brain, in my heart. Again, babies are awesome. But guess what? They're also self-centered. And sometimes if I don't grow from a spiritual infant, I'll be self-centered too. What does that mean? It means I might arrive at the church thinking, what can I get out of this service today? Then sometimes I can leave saying, I didn't get a thing out of that service today. Well, that makes church all about me. And folks, it's not about me. It's about God. It's not about me. Now, am I going to get something out of this when I draw closer to God? You better believe I will. But I've gone long today, and that can be the subject of your lunch. Joseph, I think you hit all the notes perfectly, but just in case he didn't, that could be the subject of your lunch. Somebody didn't smile, shake hands, hug, whatever, I don't know. But see, that makes it about me. That makes it self-centered. Spiritual infants, just like babies, are noisy sometimes, right? What does that mean? They pitch a fit when they don't get their way. I didn't get my way, and I'm going to cause all kinds of drama and strife, etc. Spiritual infants are impatient. The crying baby cannot be told that the milk is warming. You ever been there, done that? I remember when we brought Bo home and we had that bottle warmer and he's screaming, ah! And you go and it's too cold and he's screaming, ah! And then it's too hot and you want to take the bottle warmer and the bottle and throw it up against the wall as hard as you can. At least that was me. Well, that baby doesn't understand that the milk's warming and it's going to be ready in a few minutes. He wants what he wants and he wants it 5 minutes ago. Sometimes people spiritually mature want it their way. It's not Burger King. It's God's way. Spiritual infants are explosive and can go off at anything. Somebody they know or them or whoever were in the hospital, the preacher, elders didn't visit them as much as they thought or at all. And so I'm just done with them. I'm quitting church. I'm going to gossip about them a lot first and then I'm going to quit. Or they worked hard on a certain project. Okay, they worked hard and they gave all this time and they didn't get any recognition from the pulpit. So guess what? I'm done. I ain't never going to do anything again. I think God would say we got to grow up from that. Spiritual infants are irresponsible. They're great expecting a lot from others and nothing from themselves. They always know who to blame for all that's wrong in the church. Do you want your baby to be a toddler forever? No. I'm going to be honest with you. I was so thankful when my babies got out of that screaming all night phase. I know Michelle was. She got up way more than I did. Okay? We don't want them to stay toddlers that are screaming and crying. We want them to grow and develop. I get we want them to stay young, all that, but we know that's not normal. We have to let them grow up. Remember when Andy told Opie, hey, you got to let them fly, son? Sometimes we got to let them fly. Well, we can't remain a baby forever. It's unnatural. Well, growing into a mature Christian is the natural order of things spiritually. It's real hard to do, but we got to do it if we're serious about God, our relationship with Him. You know what we got to do? We got to examine self. I hope you've done that in this time. And you need to ask a question, where am I right now? Terry, where are you? I'm asking that question to me. You need to ask, where am I spiritually? Am I guilty of stunted spiritual growth? That's a hard question to ask, but I got to ask it. If the answer is yes, well, folks, it's time to be renewed. It's time to change. It's time to get off the milk and get to solid food. You see, what if Paul didn't get off the milk? What if Peter didn't get off the milk? What if others before us didn't get off the milk? We wouldn't have the privilege of being here today. Somebody's depending on you. And somebody's depending on me. We need to be immersed in water, just like these four have done recently. But that's not it. Then I need to keep going up today. If you need to change, if you need to grow, if you need to repent, if you need to be renewed, come right now together. We stand and sing.